Perhaps one of the single most terrifying two-word phrases in the English language is pop quiz. It will turn your blood to ice in just half a second. Your stomach drops down and, you know, your heart skips a beat. It's kind of that same effect, you know, when the red and blue lights are in the rearview mirror. It's like, oh, no. Because the pop quiz means it's only what's in your head. Only what's in your head and not, you know, you don't get to cram the night before. Well, today I have a pop quiz for you. You guys ready? So, according to the catechism, what is the central mystery of the Christian faith? What is the central mystery of the Christian faith? Is it A, the incarnation? B, the Trinity? C, the Holy Eucharist? Or D, how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? The central mystery of the Christian faith. According to Catechism 234, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in Himself. It is therefore the source of all other mysteries of faith, the light which enlightens them. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching in the hierarchy of the truths of the faith. If the Holy Trinity is the central mystery of our faith, the center of Christian life, it's so unfortunate that it seems so extrinsic. At least in my life, for a long time, the idea of the Trinity was just simply a dogma, you know, that I learned about St. Patrick and the shamrock and, you know, the three leaves, three persons of the Trinity, one God. And that was about the extent of my understanding of Trinitarian theology, of three persons, one God. Okay, got it. But there's so much more than that. That doesn't even scratch the surface. The Trinitarian theology is the central mystery of the Christian faith and of the Christian life, of our life as Christians. Our theology is deeply Trinitarian. So how does this look in the life of a Christian? Well, what happens at baptism? What is the effect of what's going on? Okay, so we're cleansed with water, we're made God's children, purified of original sin. But what's really going on? How would we describe that? We're being invited into the inner life of the Trinity, being invited into life with God, Father, Son, and Spirit. That is what sanctifying grace is. You've heard the term sanctifying grace as nothing other than participating in the life of the Trinity. That's what it means to have sanctifying grace in your soul. To be in the state of grace is to be participating in that life of the Trinity. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, loving each other infinitely, perfectly. And that love is so strong, it is the person of the Holy Trinity. The binding between the Father and the Son. That is the essential teaching of the Trinity. But it is driven home even more clearly in the Christian life, especially through the Mass. The Mass is deeply, deeply, deeply Trinitarian. But it's for most of us, at least for myself anyways, for the longest time I would, you know, pray to God in a very vague, very general sense. You know, dear God, you know, let me pass this test kind of thing. Let me pass this pop quiz. But our prayer should be very specific, and especially in the liturgy it is. The liturgy of the church is very much directed to one person of the Trinity, and that is God the Father. Our liturgy is very, very much directed to God the Father. And listen to the opening prayer. All the prayers of the Mass follow the same formula, so to speak. They vary in, you know, in the phrases of what we ask for, but they are all very much directed to God the Father. Listen to the opening prayer for this Mass. Almighty ever-living God, all right, Almighty ever-living God, God is Trinitarian, three persons. So at this point, it's kind of general. But if we understand that Almighty ever-living God is the Father, always in the Mass, we pray to direct our prayers to God the Father. Listen to how the Trinitarian nature of this prayer unfolds. Almighty ever-living God, whom taught by the Holy Spirit, we dare to call Father. So right there, we're clued in that we are praying to God the Father, taught by the Holy Spirit. Bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Our prayers are directed to God the Father through Jesus Christ in the unity of the Holy Spirit. So what that looks like for us at Mass is that we as a people pray collectively, unified by the Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. But standing at that altar, the priest represents Christ the head. In persona Christi Capitus, right? In the person of Christ the head. So the reality of what's happening at this Eucharist is that Jesus Christ is offering himself back to the Father. The same offering he made on Calvary. It's present on this altar before our very eyes. Think about Jesus in the agony of the garden. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will be done. The sacrifice he made on Calvary was a gift, the gift of Jesus Christ to God the Father on our behalf. And when we celebrate the Mass, we celebrate, we make this gift. The priest stands in the person of Jesus, offering Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity back to God the Father. Through the Holy Spirit, that your prayers are added and collected and given to God the Father. Listen to our second reading today. So be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ has loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God. As a sacrificial offering to God, meaning God the Father. He handed himself over as that sacrificial gift. That is exactly what we celebrate today. In a Trinitarian formula, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, offered to God the Father. That's what the Eucharist is. And that is what Jesus is saying here in John 6 again. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. He's talking about spiritual life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. A life incorporated into the Trinity. God the Father sent Jesus to bring us, to reconcile us to himself, so that we can be incorporated into the inner life of the Trinity and enjoy that forever in heaven. That's what heaven is about. Heaven is not sitting on a cloud playing a harp, okay? That's so far removed. We have to think of something, right? So we think of clouds and harps and cherubs and, okay, that's well and good. But the true reality of heaven is to participate in that inner life of the Trinity. To be loved and to love in a way that surpasses anything we could even hope to understand. That is the grace. That is the mystery that we proclaim as Christians. When we say that we've been baptized into the Trinity, that's what we mean. This living bread that comes down from heaven is the source and the summit of our faith, the Eucharist. And when you think of source and summit, for me, I think of like an hourglass, okay? So you have the triangle coming down and the triangle going up. And there in the center is the Eucharist, the source and summit. Source meaning the closest point that heaven comes to earth, at the apex, the zenith of that triangle, the closest heaven comes to earth is Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, his divinity there present in the Eucharist. That's the source of our faith. We can't get closer to heaven than that on this earth. And it's the summit. The greatest prayer that we have, the greatest prayer to offer back to God the Father, is to offer him Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. That's what happens. Through Jesus, our head, we offer Jesus back to God the Father. It's the highest point that we as a people can offer to God. That's what we mean by the source and summit. It's the closest that heaven comes to earth, and it's the closest that earth can be to heaven, combined in the Eucharist, the God 100% present as 100% God and 100% man. Brothers and sisters, that's the reality we proclaim. That is the central mystery of our faith. And if our prayer is anything other than Trinitarian, perhaps it's time that we expand our prayer a little bit, that we become more cognizant of the fact that we have a Trinitarian God. We pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ in the unity of the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit as we hear in the opening reading and in the gospel today. Let's make our prayer Trinitarian. Let's be aware of the Trinitarian nature of the Mass, so that when we receive this bread of life, we truly can receive the bread from heaven and be incorporated into that inner life of the Trinity.